won the free kick for Tottenham. Sinton and Howell stand over it. Sinton will take the free kick for Spurs. Half-time whistle not too far away. Calderwood's in space! Tottenham take the lead. Colin Calderwood given far too much room by the Derby defence.
The Hot Spurs podcast. It is Tuesday, the 6th of May 2014. I am Steve. I am in Leon C, Essex, originally from Kent. And we've got Colin. He is from Northern Ireland, originally from Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Cole?
Yeah, doing well. You're from Essex. You know, Mark Heiser told me you're from Essex, so that's good enough for me. You're an Essex boy.
Well, listen, the connection tonight's not too great, but hey, let's not worry about that. Right, West Ham, go.
Disappointing. Really, really disappointing. As I said on the last show, we're hoping to meet West Ham. It'll be the twice this year already at White Hart Lane. And, you know, this is the one that we're really looking forward to, you know, from out of the last few games. That, you know, get a wee bit of bragging rights back against West Ham, even though we've finished above them in the league. But, you know, what do you do whenever one of your centre backs gets sent off 20 odd minutes into the game, and just another really disappointing result for us, Steve. Obviously, you were there, you were at the game, and obviously you'll have a lot more things than what I've seen on the TV. But just disappointing, mate, and there's not much more to say about it. I know that sort of, you know, I think sixth place is probably ours here at United, and tonight, obviously, if you lose against Villa or draw against Villa, United can, or lose against Villa, United can take us over the goal difference. But just a bit down the dumps about it, that this was the game that we wanted to win, just to sort of cheer us all up and into the last one. But one thing I'll say about it puts pressure on the players for next week at White Hart Lane. You know, Aston Villa there, they're going to have to perform. Obviously, the players do a bit of a lap of honour, and it'll be interesting. One thing, I'm going to be over at the game. I'm interested to see how many people stay behind and the reaction that people, you know, to it. But they're definitely going to have to come out and get some kind of performance.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a similar, you know, end of season game as we've had before in terms of the fact that, you know, there's nothing to play for. You know, that's happened many, many times. You know, occasionally on these last games of the season, you know, we've had a nice little run, and, you know, you go into the summer thinking, you know, that was a good little run, that was, you know, a couple of buys, and, you know, you never know where you can end up, but we're so up in the air at the moment, as are a lot of clubs. Just going back to that West Ham, you know, a lot of people saying it was their cup final. Actually, in all honesty, it was probably our cup final, because we hadn't got one. You know, we'd blown all our chances against all the other sides that we desperately want to beat. You know, me and Andrew at ASD from the Tottenham Football Fancast, which is, by the way, is a brilliant podcast, Tottenham Football Fancast. So if you don't listen to the Tottenham Football Fancast, definitely get listening to it, because it is excellent. Go to iTunes, download, subscribe to the Tottenham Football Fancast. It is brilliant. Went with him, and it was great. We covered about a million different subjects, all within, you know, a couple of hours that we were chatting away. But, you know, the anticipation of it was, you know, this is our chance. You know, this is the only game really that we've got left. We said the only other one was Man United, which was a decent result, but, you know, with the season they've had, can we really look back and say that was it, that, you know, that was the highlight? Of course it was, but, you know, well, not that great in the end of the grand scheme of things. So we lost 3-2 Arsenal. We got stuffed by everybody else. You know, this was it really. This was the game. And, you know, because they'd already beaten us twice, so don't suppose it would matter to them if we'd have lost to them, to be honest with you. It was our game, it was our cup final. If, you know, there's no point, you know, making jokes about it's their cup final. So it annoyed me a little bit. People kept going on about that. And lo and behold, they go and win it. I listened to another podcast on the way up to the game, the Rule the Roost one, where they was talking to a West Ham fan who was saying, I can't see how we're going to score. Andy Carroll's a load of old rubbish. We let in loads of goals. We can't score any goals. And I suppose it's the Spurs' luck that they played absolutely brilliantly. We were absolutely atrocious. Andy Carroll scored and was a handful the whole game. Stuart Downing played the best I've ever seen him play. Kevin Nolan was absolutely brilliant, bossing the midfield. They were fantastic at the back, and they didn't put a foot wrong. And we were absolutely dreadful from start to finish. Just awful. The crowd, you know, it's the first time I've been away for many years, and I was really looking forward to it. And I've got to say, I didn't enjoy it. I was really disappointed. The singing was fantastic, but the anger, I can see why people are so angry. But just calm down a little bit, Spurs fans. It was really, really aggressive. And I know we're at West Ham and everything, and we like to be the big boys and all that sort of stuff. That, you know, my goodness, I'd have loved to have said to a couple of lads that, you know, like, you know, keep the humour, you know, keep the faith, you know, keep singing and, you know, put a smile on your face, you know. But the aggressiveness of a lot of the crowd is something that I hadn't really, I hadn't experienced before. I'd seen it, obviously, from away fans when they come to Spurs, but not from Spurs fans. So is it because of the whole season and what's happened? Possibly. Is it the fact that we were 2-0 down and playing so badly? Probably. But hey, that's football. And bring on next season, that's all I say.
Yeah, no, definitely. Just to go over a couple of points in the game. Well, obviously you were behind the goal there for the sending off. What was your view of it? You know, obviously in
100% definite sending off.
Yeah, I think it was, but to be honest with you, when I first sort of said, I thought it was a bit harsh, and it was like one of those typical sort of challenges where it just seems to be like a brush on the player, and the player seems to just go down. Now, obviously, if it had been at the other end, we'd have been screaming for a red card as well. But I just thought, you know, it was slightly harsh on us, just a wee bit unlucky, if you would say. But, you know, the big talking point of the game for me, Steve, is the free kick, is the wall. You know, obviously there's some great finds out there on Twitter that shows you a real close-up of Adi Traore and Blenio. And for the two of those guys literally split apart with a ball at chest height, you know, to let a goal in for us. And then both of them sit and to stare and to look at each other. The moon was just an absolute disgrace. Yes, we've had digs at Adi Traore before in the past, and you know, it's hard to have a real go at him because of what he's done for us since he's come back into the team. But, you know, he let us down there. But, you know, my big one was Polinio. You know, this guy's really disappointed me, especially probably from around about November. He started not too bad for us. I scored a couple of important goals on the away from home as well. But ever since really that November or Christmas period, the guy just seems to disappear. You know, he picked up an entry from Charlie Adam at that point. But it just seems that, I don't know whether it's just the World Cup has just got in his head, it's just not this team's not going anywhere, or ADB left and he wasn't in it, because Sherwood came in. But he just does not seem to want to be in that team. And I hear a lot of reports about Chelsea wanting him. And, you know, my opinion is they can have him. You know, and maybe I think there's a question later on, maybe from one of the listeners about, you know, would you sell Pellegrini here? And, you know, do a deal to get Luke Kak in the Spurs? I'd certainly do, because I don't know what you felt about the guy on the day, but he really has done nothing for us, Steve. Absolutely nothing.
Well, I can see it from a million miles away that he's not interested. I saw it several games ago. I don't see how Sherwood can't see that. He's not interested. He's not getting stuck in. He's strolling around. You know, there's this little bit about him that you think, you can see the quality there. As a player, but if he's not interested, then don't play him. You've got plenty of other players, you know, who can come in there. I mean, or the other thing to do is put him with his best mate, Sandro. I mean, that was the biggest thing. I was standing there in the gangway, and Andrew SD said, Sigurdsson playing in the middle. And you're like, what's going on? How can... So Chadley's injured, obviously. Do you know how many players we had injured, by the way, against West Ham?
Don't you start an injuries.
How many players do you reckon were injured? How many players do you reckon you're injured?
10.
Well, there were 7 first-team players injured again. And you're like, oh, only 7? That's all right, isn't it? That's the only thing I'll mention about injuries.
You're not bad to mention this anymore. Yeah,
right. Right, so Chadley's gets injured, right? So they bring the obvious one to bring in at West Ham away to line up against alongside Paulinho is Sandro. I mean, you punished him. He obviously wasn't happy with him a couple of weeks ago, so he punished him last week by putting him on the bench. So that's your punishment. That's it. Now you play him. What's he doing not playing him? And just as a little side note, I don't know who it was that came on in the last 10 minutes, but that wasn't Sandro. That was that bloke who impersonates him, because he was absolutely dreadful. Sandro is our best player. We've said it time and time again. And if fit, he plays. And by the way, he's not a defensive midfielder. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, he's our best defensive midfielder. He's not. Who scored our best goal this season? Who scored our best goal a couple of seasons ago? He always has I think he has more shots than Adi Bayor when he plays. So he's box to box. He's all over the field. He's like he's the Roy Keane for us. Getting everywhere. It's that player that everybody needs in their side to run the midfield, to be that presence. And we don't play him. That is what I said about Sherwood several weeks ago. I said, while he's playing Bentaleb, not a problem, he's a decent player. As soon as Sandro comes out back, of course he'll pick him. And if he doesn't, and I laughed, and I said, if he doesn't, then, Sherwood's an idiot, and, what's he doing? I can't believe he's not picking him. What a ridiculous thing to do. And we said it about AVB with Adi Bayor. You've got to manage these players. They're world-class, brilliant players, and we want to see them. I didn't pay 52 quid to watch Sigurdsson and Paulinho in our midfield. Kevin Nolan, right? Sam Allardyce would have gone up to Kevin Nolan at 2:10 and gone, here, check out this team sheet. Look who you're up against today. And they would have slapped each other's back and had a right laugh about it. Sigurdsson and Paulinho. One guy's a winger, a classy winger, who, I don't even ever put a tackle in. And the other guy isn't even interested. He's not on the beach, but he's on the plane home to Brazil. Not even interested. How ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And you've got Eriksen, who everyone's crying out to be in the middle. Why didn't you just switch them two over? Put Sigurdsson out wide and Eriksen in the middle if there's a problem. Unbelievable. Yeah.
I know what you're saying there about Eriksen, but... I know what you're saying about Sandro, and I agree on he's on form, and whenever the guy's fit, definitely is. He's one of our best players. I wouldn't say he's our best player, but we said it a few weeks ago, Steve. He hasn't been good this season, and I honestly think the guy has still not recovered from that injury that he got at PR last year. He just hasn't been the team player, and personally, because he hasn't been that form, I actually can understand why he hasn't played as many games.
Okay, so Chadley was out. Who would you have brought in?
On Saturday there.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, yes, look, I'd still play Sandro.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't turn around and say, he's our best player. He should definitely play.
Yeah, but you don't go with Sigurdsson, do you?
No, especially away to West Ham.
Bentaleb was sitting on the bench. Go with him.
Yeah. Well, personally, I would have played Bentaleb before Paulinho.
Yeah.
The way Paulinho's been, if he was going to call out Sandro and have a bit of a dig at him, he has to call out Paulinho.
Yeah.
But certainly after that, with the wall...
I'd have brought them both off at half-time.
Sorry,
mate. I would have brought them both off at half-time. I'd have said, what happened with that free kick? And Loris would have said, the two of them turned, they would have both had that. I'd say, right, both off. I'm not having that in my football team. That's disgraceful. You're both off.
And that was my big worry about when you've seen Hugo Lloris' face. He literally just looked And he looked at these guys and he shook his head. And the problem with these things happening, it's put more and more doubts into one of the best goalkeepers in the world, you know, who more than likely probably is going to turn around and go, you know what, say if a big offer comes in and it'd be like the PSG, they'd put him to the back of France, you know, is this guy going to turn it down?
No, and good luck to him.
Yeah, and that is my worry about it. But, you know, look, I just thought it was an absolute disgrace the way the two of them got on. But, you know, Paulinho is really, really frustrated at me. And personally, if he goes, he goes. And if Chelsea want him, if he can do part of a deal that brings in the likes of Lukaku or another Chelsea. Do you know who really likes Chelsea? That fella is Schürrle.
Yeah.
I think he looks like a fantastic player. Bundles of energy. He scores goals. You know, that could be a guy. You know, like, you just want Paulinho, you just want this Brazilian international. We'll take him as part of the deal. You know, that's where I really look at.
You don't really see swap deals, though, these days.
I think it's the only way we'll do business, or Chelsea will do business with us after what's happened in the past. You know, that's all I can see happening to us.
I'm not sure Schürrle would come to us, though. I think he's got a future at Chelsea. Certainly one more season at least, because you see this Hazard and things going on there and players coming in and out of the team. I think Schürrle might be a Mourinho man, if you know what I mean. You know, like you say, he does look as if he's got a bit about him. We'll go through some questions in a second. Just on Adebayor, though, obviously, you know, it was terrible what he did there. But again, he had a presence on the pitch. He didn't play particularly well. You know, again, I paid my 50 quid. I want to see Soldado. I don't want to see Harry Kane. I've seen him for 3 or 4 games. He's all right. Scored a couple of goals. Well done. But I don't want to pay 50 quid to see him. I want to see Soldado and Adebayor up front. I want to see the superstars. I want to see them playing. Again, you look at that team sheet, and I bet Sam Allardyce had a right laugh, and so it proved. Really, really disappointing all round from everybody. But let's go through a couple of questions. Have you got anything more you want to say on the match?
No, just as you're saying, I'm just really disappointed. You know, game over at half time. You're saying that about Soldado. Yes, personally, I think if he's going to be in the plans for us next year, if he's fit, he should be playing all these last 3 or 4 games that he was available for there. Hopefully he'll be there on Sunday and maybe even grab a goal just before he goes off on his holidays. I can't see him getting into the Spanish squad. I can't see that there happening.
But no, but he scored against Cardiff. Sherwood said, as soon as he gets a goal, I'm sure he'll get loads more, you know, the way the managers say this, and he hasn't played him. I know he got injured. He's played him in cameo appearances. You know, play the guy. Kane can wait. Right, Graham Rookie Lambert said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how satisfied are you both with this season? Scale of 1 to 10, Cole.
3.
Yeah, me too. Adam Courier, what colour boots should Ledley King wear for his testimonial?
I think he should wear, yellow boots. I like yellow.
Do you?
Yeah, but sure, it's like our usual away kit, so big pair of yellow boots on there, so I'll be able to pick you out on the night.
I reckon it should be different and wear black boots.
Yeah, go back to the retro.
But do you know, honestly, if I was a football player these days, right, I would absolutely 100% wear black boots. You know, you look across that pitch and it's all that they've all got the orange or the green boots. Wear black boots, you know, and be that player that everyone recognises as having black boots on. Ridiculous.
You're showing your age.
Davey Elder, should Sol Campbell deserve a place in King's testimonial lineup?
Ooh, controversial one there from the Spurs poet.
I know, he's trying to stir some things up. He's going to be in the Bell and Hare on Sunday, so you can all go and tell him what you think of that. But air of caution though. He's from Northern Ireland.
I'll be there backing you up, dear.
So should he? I don't think so, is my response to that.
Funny, I thought about this as well, and I think Ledley King personally probably would have loved it if maybe in Aston. And I would say Sol Campbell personally probably would have loved to have done it just to see if he's been trying to break that ice. But look, I think unfortunately for him, he's just a guy that's just going to go down as one of those hate figures for the rest of his days with us Spurs fans. And Lindy King cannot risk having him there on the night because it could just turn a wee bit sour. So certainly not for me.
I haven't really heard Sol Campbell say, you know, I grew up as a Spurs fan and I've got a lot of affection for Spurs and I wanted to win things. I went to Arsenal, I did win things and blah, blah, blah. I guess he's had so much hatred that he doesn't want to say anything positive about Tottenham. But, you know, if he starts saying those sorts of things, you know, a certain number of fans would sort of say, right, all right, you know, at least he's... You know, telling us, you know.
Have you listened to My Sporting Life? Talk Sport?
No.
Danny, if you download the podcast for My Sporting Life, Talks with Danny Kelly, Sol Campbell was on there about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I guess it's an hour and a half long. It's fantastic. Just listen to one there with Keith Gillespie as well, which is a brilliant listen. And Sol Campbell, he doesn't really talk about being a Spurs fan. He actually said that he never supported anybody. If anybody that he would have followed when he was a kid, it was Man United. That sort of team that he liked, because obviously they were winning a lot of things and you know, a lot of the top players. But obviously, you know, he went through his youth and came to Spurs. And, you know, the biggest part, really, I think, hopefully I'm getting this right, that he came out and said was, you know, it was a lack of ambition at the club.
Yeah.
He said he had to see them loads of times. He actually mentioned about one of the seasons, which he probably single-handedly kept us up. It's in the Premier League. And he went to the board and he says, look, you know, who are you going to bring in? What are we going to do? And he said there was literally no ambition. And he's the kind of guy that wanted to win things. And we can understand, you look at Gareth Bale and you look at Berbatov at left and Michael Carrick. And we can understand it. And he said that at that stage, Spurs were turning down top players because they wouldn't pay the wages.
Yeah.
And it just got that stage. Obviously, the big controversy is that Andy Kelly's a Spurs fan as well, so he doesn't let it off lightly. You know, he says, well, you could have went for a lot more money. But, you know, the teams that actually came in was Liverpool were interested, but he mentions that the Liverpool manager at the time didn't turn up. So I don't even know who that was. Man United came in at the last minute. Arsenal were in form for about 5 or 6 months, which you knew about. Inter Milan and AC Milan were coming in as well. But he said at that stage he believed Arsenal were the best in the country. And that's where he felt that's where he had the best chance to go. But he said that he didn't realise that it was going to be as bad as what it was.
Yeah.
He actually lost all his brothers. He came from a family of, I think it was 9 brothers, 9 of them, and they're actually all big Spurs fans. And he said that game that came back to White Hart Lane, he didn't know what to expect, and he said the Arsenal players didn't know, and he said the hatred that night was just unbelievable. But he said his brothers were in the crowd, and he actually seen one of his brothers behind the goal, and his brother just stared at him, said nothing, and he hasn't spoke to his brother since.
Yeah. Well, it would be the same the other way around, of course.
Definitely.
So, you know, the Arsenal got plenty of hatred for Tottenham, so.
Yeah, definitely worth the listen to, but, you know, pushing that, you know, just lets us hear, obviously, his point of view. But he does, that's what I was saying earlier, he does come across where he would love to be able to put things to bed, and I'm sure he'd love to come to this evening, because he talks highly of Lindy King. But, look, it's just never
going to
happen. It's not
going to
happen.
Yeah, they're not great fans of David Bentley, but then again, neither are we. Paul Teacher, would you offer Hugo any amount to stay? And why are we continually linked with midfielders when we have so many on our books, including Holtby and Livermore, to return from loan spells? You know, all this linking business, ignore it all. It's all rubbish. It's all made up. So ignore everything until a deal is signed. That's when you know. Would you offer Hugo any amount of money to stay? No, not really. You know, he's a great goalkeeper. There are lots of great goalkeepers, actually. I've noticed. I'm quite impressed with quite a few. So, you know, I would offer I would say I don't care if he's paid £1 million a week because it's not my money. You know, it wouldn't affect me in any way whatsoever. You know, but you know, it's not like Gareth Bale, who is irreplaceable. You know, Hugo's great goalkeeper, but there are a lot of great goalkeepers. That, you know, if we can get it right, then it wouldn't be a problem. You know, especially if we sell him for, you know, 25-30 million, and we get a goalkeeper in, and then we spend the rest of the money on a left back. You know, maybe that would be all right. Thoughts, Hugo?
Yeah, I would certainly offer whatever he needed to try and keep him. You know, we'd love to keep him there, but. You're right, but it's funny, I've been looking at the goalkeeper situation as well, and there is, you know, there's the player at Stoke who was for us, Zibkovic.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting that name right. Great goalkeeper, the keeper at Cardiff's been linked with us, Marshall.
Spironi at Crystal Palace looks good.
No, I don't like that guy, there's something about him I've just never liked, but I think there's a couple of good replacements out there if he does go, but look, hopefully he won't, and I'd love to see him there again next season.
Anne Bonner wants to know, why does the club continually sack managers?
I don't know. It just seems to be something that we do. And there's a lot of clubs. You know, if you really look at that, you know, Man United and Arsenal, really every other club sort of been the same. You know, if you even look at Chelsea over the last three, you know, four, five, six seasons, you know, the amount of changes that they've had. But I just think it's obviously, you know, Daniel Levy's looking forward to, you know, get us into that Champions League. But I honestly think us fans have a lot to answer for. The pressure that we put on that team at White Hart Lane, you know, and no matter what anybody says, the supporters have a big say at Tottenham. And Daniel Levy definitely listens to what's happening there. If they want someone out, he knows. And usually whenever the crowd gets on someone's back, they're usually gone. I'm just surprised he stays along with Sherwood. I really am.
Well, you're absolutely right. And just a little side note here. Just watch Liverpool start of next season, especially if Suarez, you know, not happy that if they don't win the league, and a little bid comes in from Real Madrid. Just see, you know, how he's going to go to the World Cup. You know, going to meet a lot of people. So, you know, or the other thing is, if Suarez gets injured, you know, if they have 7 or 8 injuries, Cole, from their first team, just have a little look at what will happen with Brendan Rodgers and, you know, their views on this wonderful way that they've kept their manager and all this sort of stuff. You know, they've kept their manager for a reason. You know, they've got nigh on 100% squad fitness. And they've had some great results, but just lately with the results not going their way, you know, all fans are very, very fickle, so keep your eye on that one. Paul Nicol, if we bring a new manager in, will we have control of bringing in his own signings? Don't know. And will we have the funds to bring in new players with the amount of signings we made last season? I'm sure there will be more money, don't you, Carl?
Yeah, I think there'll be more money available, there always is, and I think there'll be, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5 players will be going to the door as well. So, especially, again, if a new manager does come in, there's definitely going to be money available. There's always money available at Spurs, and obviously I don't think we'll see 7 new signings again. I think lessons have probably been learned from that. But I hope the new manager that comes in gets a say in who he picks. You know, Baldini, we haven't really heard much about him lately, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if he's still about as well. You know, if it's Alexis Frank de Boer comes in, you know, with his backroom staff, I'm sure they're going to have their own ideas on what to bring in their own person. I think Dan Levy hopefully has learned a lesson here, and he's going to have to go, right, whoever this guy is coming in, who do you want? You know, let's go and get them. And I'm sure that we'll make a few signings again.
Yeah, I mean, just going back on these signings, when we signed Ozzie and Ricky, we were awful for a couple of seasons. Don't forget, we signed them in 78 and we won the FA Cup in 81. So there was a couple of seasons there, and I think we lost the first couple of games 3-0 and 4-0. So, you know, it does take time, especially with these guys coming over. Then again, we've always spent money. That's the thing that gets me when you know, listen to other podcasts and they go, oh, you know, Man City and Chelsea aren't doing it the right way. And we, Spurs have always spent loads and loads of money. I go back to the Gazza when we bought him. There was massive amounts of money. We signed him and Paul Stewart. And it was more than anybody else had spent that summer. And we were absolutely atrocious in that first season, losing loads and loads of games. So look, over the years, we have thrown money time and time and time again. And we haven't really got a leg to stand on when it comes to that sort of accusing other teams of spending money and buying things, because Spurs have always done it. Not to the level of Man City and Chelsea, but still much, much more than other teams. Michael,
A lot of these guys will improve next season. You know, there's a couple of that have really disappointed. You know, the likes of, you know, Chadley, Polinio, Lamella's just been, he's just like this ghost. You know, it's as if we've just went and gave someone 30 million and nobody turned off for it. That's the big one for me. That's, I know, a hard one about him all the time. I'm really interested to see if he's still going to be there.
Well, there's something, isn't there? There's something with him. It can't just be an injury. There's something gone on there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd say.
You know, I'm just wondering, and I'm sort of hoping, is it that it just went right? Like, it just doesn't work for you at the minute. You know, go back to Argentina, you know, get settled, go and learn your English, you know, get prepared, we'll get you back at the start of the new season, and, you know, we'll go again. I really hope so. I really would hate to see the guy go back to Roma, you know, on loan or do something. I'd really love the guy to really come in and really have a good chance from the start of pre-season.
Yeah, Michael Mountford, again, talking about the manager. Why do we always change our manager? It's about time we have some stability at the club. One thing is for sure is that the atmosphere has got to improve next season. Let's get behind the team. Look at the Palace fans last night. They were fantastic, giving it three down. But, you know, that's a great point. But, you know, let's see Palace in 10, 15 years. Will they still be jumping up and down with their, when they're, you know, fighting relegation each year and being mid-table each year? You know, it's fantastic for them. They've just come up. I've got to say, although the Spurs away, you know, as I say, it was really aggressive and I didn't like the offensiveness of it all, but the fact that they sang constantly was brilliant. And I don't think we away teams do that, certainly coming to White Hart Lane, apart from maybe the teams that have just come up. So absolutely brilliant support from Spurs. I just want them to lose that little edge of aggressiveness.
He makes a great point, and it's one thing that I want to say at the end of this season for us. Because look, it's not 100% of Tim Sherwood's going to leave, but if we do appoint a new manager, I want them to be given time, and no matter what happens, unless we lose every game, you know, I'd love to see this guy, whoever's going to come in, no matter where we finish next year, this guy's given 2, 3, 4 years to try and do something. And he's also, is it Michael that you said?
Yeah.
He's 100% right about the atmosphere. We spoke about it before on the podcast. White Hart Lane needs to start to become a fortress.
So say Frank de Boer goes somewhere else, and the four or five other guys go somewhere else. Benitez stays at Napoli, blah, blah, blah. And they say, you know, look, you know, Sherwood is the best candidate. You know, and I'm not joking here, because there's a lot of managers could well go somewhere else, right? Are you saying give him 2 or 3 years, or are you saying no, we keep kicking up a fuss?
Yeah, if they decide Tim Sherwood's going to be our manager, then for me, and I won't be happy, but we have to get them 100% back from next season. Definitely, I'm going to say, right, like, 2 years, no questions asked, this guy can sign his own players, bring into his team, to 2 years, and we have to back him 100%, but I can't see it happening. I do believe we will have a new manager, but this new manager definitely needs to be given time. But also what Michael says, atmosphere. Like, the atmosphere needs to change at White Hart Lane. Spoke about it before, the guys at the Fighting Cock with the 82 movement do a great job whenever they can get to these games. There needs to be a section behind that goal, you know, 3, 4, 5 blocks dedicated. know, the people, like, you know, have an edit up there. If you, do you want to sing? This is the area. This is where your season ticket's going to be. And get these guys in and get White Hart Lane rocking again. Yeah. It's such a compact stadium. That place, whenever the Spurs fans are on form, it must be frightening for opposition teams to come there. Like, we were Arsenal against Arsenal last season, Steve, and we beat them 2-1. What was it like that day? Wasn't it fantastic?
Yeah.
You know, the whole, every side of the ground was rocking. We need to do it. But another big problem, and it's happening at United and all these big clubs, and this is nothing against tourists coming to games, because people could call me a tourist coming over to the hockey. But the more and more you're going to these games, you're seeing pockets of people that are there for the experience.
And yeah, but that shouldn't affect the atmosphere. There's a very small minority.
Yeah, but, you know, they're in certain areas. You know, to me, then, that's where you make that stand behind the net. You know, it's totally season ticket holders only.
Yeah, so they should be singing. So the tourists shouldn't be affected. I've said it before. You know, when I go to America or wherever, if I want to go and see a ball game or whatever it is, and I, you know, go to the concierge, can we get tickets, yeah, get us a couple? Imagine I go and sit down and some bloke says, you know, you're not even a Yankees fan, what are you doing here? You know, you're not even from New York. And I'm like, well, I'm on holiday, can't I? You know, it's not a problem. Plus, I love sitting next to American girls chatting away. It's great.
I know you do.
Antonio Silva, right? You keep forgetting to mention him.
This is Steve's fault. This is your fault. So get that shout out done. Very excited tonight.
Right, Antonio Silva, massive fan of the show, and going to meet up with him one day, hopefully. Sell Paulinho to Chelsea for 20 million plus, or swap deal for Lukaku? Look, I've got a little statement here, and again, I'm saying the other side of it. Lukaku and Benteke and these Remy, I reckon they could be liabilities, as well as fantastically class strikers, and we've seen them score some great goals. I can very well see us sitting there for a few games going, they're not moving. Because I've heard the Everton fans say that Lukaku can be lazy. Certainly Remy has got a lazy streak in him. And Benteke, you know, when he signed that contract, the first sort of 6 months of the season, he was terrible, wasn't he, before he started knocking him in. So all these guys can be very, very lazy. You know, it's so hard with these strikers because every team seems to need desperately need a striker. And unless Suarez and Aguero are available, or like you always say, Dzeko, you know, I think you're going to have to go into the unknown. And, you know, we got a striker. That's the thing. We went last summer and we went and got the best poacher in Spain. The guy who's on the front cover of their FIFA 13 Sega game, Commodore 64 game. He's on the front cover with Messi. So he's an absolute superstar striker. Comes to us. He was awful against West Ham when he came on. He's been awful all season. And I still want to see him on the football pitch because I want to see him for more than, you know, 10 minutes. But we bought that striker and people were saying, oh, when are we going to put around in our pocket and buy a striker? We did. We bought Adebayor 2 seasons ago and we bought Soldado this year. And the both of them have got a certain presence on a pitch, but they don't knock the goals in like old Lineker used to and all the Clive Allen and the rest of them. So what can you do?
I think that's the thing. No matter who you sign, it's always going to be a risk. But I think one thing that we have been quite steady on saying is, you know, I would like to see guys that have maybe been in the Premier League and have done it. And that's where Lukaku's having a good season. Benteke had a wonder season. We don't really know about him, but he's been there and he's done it. And Remy, you know, I think Remy looks fantastic sometimes when he's on, but you're right. I think he could be one of those players that could come in, be brilliant for 6 or 7 weeks and then disappear for another 3 months. You know, so no matter who it's going to be, it's a risk. One name I actually want to shout out, I just thought about him there whenever you said about Seko, and I know I always go on about him. What do you think about Kolarov as a left-back?
Definitely.
I watched him there the other night as well. He's one guy, I've always thought it when I've watched him when he's on form. He actually doesn't get that many games for City. And I think he's a wonder player, but he's probably more of an attacker. You know, and I think we're sort of going, oh, we need a proper left back. But he's not being answered even for like the left hand side, and his free kick taken is unreal.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Cheeky Bib in the Man City.
Well, because they play the lad who used to be at Arsenal, don't they?
Yeah, Cliche.
Cliche.
Yeah.
We're just running out of time, mate, so I'm just going to steam through these, if that's all right.
Okay.
We'll do, obviously, transfers and what have you next week and over the next few weeks. Andrew McIver, I deleted your post accidentally. Sorry about that. I can't remember what he said. But by the looks of the picture here, he's got a very nice girlfriend or wife. Right, Stephen Logu. On a serious note, who will be our next manager? And who are the candidates? Be worried in case they leave a good club and not last the White Hart Lane, just like what happened to AVB. My choice clearly would be Jurgen Klinsmann. I'm a massive Klinsmann fan, but you know, whether he comes in and can get that team going and defending and all the rest of it, again, it's a bit of an unknown because, you know, he's managed Germany, he's managed America. Has he managed a team in the Premier League? No. Does he know it that well? He's only with us for like a year and a bit. Difficult. Karma, go on, mate.
We mentioned the force a little bit. Certainly be a big name. I think the supporters would be happy if he was, but haven't heard anything at all about him being. Look, it's looking like if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be Frank De Boer. Obviously, I want Benitez, as everybody knows, but I've been looking at De Boer, and I know he's going to. His backroom staff is Overmars and Bergkamp, obviously there's the Arsenal connects. It's also got Yabstam there. I didn't realise, but his defensive coach. The more I see about De Boer and I listen to him there today, actually, he was talking, and you know, he looks the part. There's big rumours that Collins will bring Snyder with him, you know, who's in Galatasaray. I think we do need sort of maybe experienced, you know, top midfielder, that like a Van de Vaart that's going to come in there. So it could be interesting, but certainly if it's De Boer, he needs to get the guarantees that he's going to be given time. And one thing support's going to have to do is be 100% behind him no matter what happens and go with him for the next 3 to 4 years.
I don't want to jump on the Frank de Boer thing. You know, he seems all right, you know, very good, and I'm sure he would be. But, you know, again, I don't want to do the Louis van Gaal thing and people go, oh, you thought he was going to get him in that? He's going to this club or that club. But I'd also love to see Dennis Bergkamp in a Spurs tracksuit because the Arsenal fans would go mad. It would be payback for Sol Campbell. Colm O'Reilly, which players are worth keeping next season? Take into account attitude as well as ability. I'm just going to read through these and then we'll come back to them. Peter Clark, being realistic, given the budget constraints, which three players would you ship out and which would you bring in? Connor, Mattia, Peter Clark, can you ask how does it feel to spend 100 million and not be top four? It feels absolutely terrible. I don't know if that's from an Arsenal fan. It feels absolutely terrible. How does it feel to spend all that money on Mesut Ozil and be, you know, top four, top of the league for all those months and then end up just beating Tottenham? I suppose it's brilliant.
End up fourth in the November Cup.
Yeah, brilliant. Maybe I'll tell you next season. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say yes. Let's finish fourth. And then when it gets to the end of the season, we just go, wow, it's all right. We finished above West Ham. Yay! And jump around. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, with success, Europa. Don't worry about what I said. You know, for the last 8 months of the season, it's all that matters now is that we're in the Europa League. Yeah, we're still celebrate. Dave Spurs, should we keep all seven recruits? Bring back Huddleston? Definitely not. Sell them Livermore, passes, stuff like that. Carl Woodbridge, if Loris goes in the summer as expected, who would you replace him with? Carl, goalkeepers? We talked about that, haven't we? Tim Crawley's good, John Ruddy. Jovinho, Paulinho or Mourinho? That's from Tetrunk. Jovinho, Paulinho or Mourinho?
Mourinho
for me, definitely. Andrew Rocco, I've just reffed at White Hart Lane. What would you do if you could get behind the scenes for 30 minutes at White Hart Lane all alone?
I'd definitely run on a pitch with a football and just try and score as many goals as I could.
That's what I'd do. You would, wouldn't you? Just go right with the football and just whack it as hard as you can in the net.
I'd probably miss.
Yeah.
Probably run on a Soldado.
Given we lack some leadership on the pitch, and if we sign this summer, who do you think ticks both qualities, quality and leadership? And that's all the comments. So, any of you want to go back on there, Carl, just to talk about?
A couple of guys mentioned about who would you players would you keep and who would you possibly bring in. It's not rocket science about, you know, it's probably easier about talking who will bring in. You know, left back is number one priority.
Yeah.
I've just mentioned him, Connor off there, really like, but, you know, Ashley Cole, I've mentioned as well, I think he's been brilliant. I know he's got that Arsenal connection, but I don't care. I think, you know, an experienced fullback.
Arsenal hate him, that's all you have to remember.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, an experienced fullback, lives in London, you know, again, there could be another thing, Dennis Burke, maybe coming in with Frank De Boer, could possibly be able to talk Ashley Cole and coming in there as well. You know, left back's massive, so look, I'd shout out now, if the choice, I'd go for, but actually I'd go for Kolarov. I'd take Kolarov as left back. I'd want Seppo, and I also want Kak.
Whoever comes in, he's gonna know a couple of left backs, aren't they? You know, especially if it's Frank de Boer, he'll know a couple of decent Dutch left backs, surely.
I prefer to be left back that was short, no, but Steve, you know, I know there's probably a brilliant left back at Ajax. I don't know who it is at the minute, but is he going to come in and be in for, you know, Danny Rose?
He won't be a Danny Rose, will he? Although Sherwood's been talking up Danny Rose, saying he can be as good as Ashley Cole. I don't think so. Hope he does. Prove us wrong. Prove us wrong, and next season we'll call this the Danny Rose podcast.
Yeah, well, bring in
an
actually cool trainer.
Yeah.
The teacher.
That's what I said. That's exactly what we said. It was a no-brainer. Why didn't we do it? Anything more you want to say this week, Cole?
Well, I think that's everything. I'll just get a couple of wee things about fantasy football. I haven't updated tonight because there's still... There's games tonight and there's more games tomorrow, so all of the points haven't fully updated and a proper league table. But I know it's very, very close between the three guys at the top. Obviously, there's after next weekend, on next week's show, I'll be able to announce who the winner is and where the final stand and things were. So it's been really, really good fun. Also, you know, myself and Davey Elder, the Spurs poet, are coming over on Sunday. We're also there for the Derby King game on the Monday, so... We're going to be in Tottenham really early on the Monday as well. I've been in touch with a few guys. I know Lee Moore's coming to me on the Monday. And, you know, Davey and I will be about, we'll probably be in the Bill Nick for quite a bit. We'll be in the Bricklayers. We'll be down at Bellhurst just before the game on Sunday. So, you know, if anybody wants to come up and say hello and meet us and buy 10 packs, because we'll probably already have 10 in us, we'll be more than happy to chat to you.
Brilliant. Okay. I just wanted to say, I keep forgetting to say this, about Europa. Other podcasts going on about, you know, we need to qualify for it. And me and you have talked about whether to or not. It looks as though we're going to qualify for it. But, you know, I don't know if I should say this now, because it looks as if we are. But, you know, Liverpool this year have had, you know, I sent a tweet out, or I was talking to someone about this, can't remember, saying that, you know, on a Wednesday this year, Liverpool are preparing for the game at the weekend, whereas Spurs are flying off to the Arctic Circle. You know, and say you've got Everton on the Sunday or whatever, you know, whereas Liverpool are preparing for it all week about how they're going to deal with Lukaku and this player and that player. You know, we don't even get to think about it until Saturday morning. You know, so certain little things like that, you know, not being on Match of the Day, not being on Goals on Sunday, giving all the other teams the impetus to get those 3 points, and then we're always playing catch-up. But on the other side, I'm not doing anything Thursday night, so you, Carl?
No, exactly. We said, personally, and I put out a thing on Facebook the other night, after we lost Saturday, I was actually hoping Man United were going to win against Sunderland, and I went, no, it's just not meant to be that we're not going to finish, you know, in this Europa League. But, you know, the big, and we said it weeks and weeks ago, what I want to see happen is, look, let's blood the four players in it.
Yeah. As long as we do that, I've got no problem with Europa. But I do not want to see Vertonghen, if he's still at Spurs, or any other brilliant first team player anywhere near a side in Norway, or on a Thursday night at White Hart Lane, twisting an ankle on 67 minutes against the team, you know, Bob Marley's I Shot the Sheriff or whatever it is, you know, because it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, 100%, it has to be, and that's what I want to see. You know, we're going to be in the Europa League, it's still true that we're in Europe, but let's go in blood. Let's, Danny Rose, you're the left back in the Europa League.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to go and learn how to become a
Harry Kane, you're the striker. Harry go Kane, and, go and score all your goals.
Yeah, go and score all your goals. You know, go out, if you have a water performance, you're putting yourself in contention to get into the first team. But look, this is the games that you're gonna go out and, you know, let blood the blood in. You know, there must be another young centre half and at the club. There has to be an under-21 or youth team left back.
Yeah. But I don't want to see Dembele. I don't want to see Dembele anywhere near it.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you think he's out of the team now? Because he played all those blimming games where he wasn't interested anyway, and now he's absolutely exhausted, and now we've lost our most creative, you know, player going forward.
Definitely, that's definitely our side, Stephen. Looks like we're qualified. We want to see blood in those sort of fringe players, if you would say. That's the guys we'll want to see. And even if they get in a good stage, get those guys to run the whole time.
Exactly. Arsenal have played that. They play a second string in most of their FA Cup games.
Yeah, under the cup, yeah. So.
But they can, though, because they haven't got as many injuries as us. All right, mate.
Stop it, you. I'm going to sort you out when I'm over this weekend.
You're going to injure me?
Yeah.
All right, mate.
Okay, mate.
Final game of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm forward to it. I'm walking around the pitch at the end.
Come on, you Spurs.